You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
Saw her from a distance as she walked up to the wall. In her hand she held some flowers as her tears began to fall. And she took out pen and paper as to trace her memories. She looked up to heaven. The words she said were these. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him just one more time, you see. All I have are the memories and the moments to recall. So far away. I remember just a little boy playing war since he was three. Lord, this time I know he's not coming home to me. She said, Lord, my boy was special, and he meant so much to me. And oh, I'd love to see him, but I know it just can't be. So I thank you for my memories and the moments to recall.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are, 26th of March, and it's a Thursday. And ordinarily, this is all gun night, and we're going to try to get some gun stuff in here. But there's some other things that I've got to get into here. Let me check the chat room, see who all's in here. Looks like lots of regulars. 45's back from last night. Good. I don't know who that is. Well, I may know who it is, but not by that name. And we've got a couple of anonymous in there. And most of our regulars, I appreciate all of you being in here. Makes it all worthwhile. C7, what is up with you, buddy? You just now showing up? Jeez, what is going on here? We got to get you get your priorities squared away there. Anyway, glad you made it. All right, let's see. There's several things here that I wanted to comment on. One of them, and a lot of these will just be very brief. I just got to throw them out there. Everybody's seen the deal about Bo Bergdahl has been charged with desertion now. I don't know why it took so damn long. It seemed pretty obvious to me and a whole bunch of others that that was the case months ago. And, you know, I've always thought that desertion during wartime, of course, now they could probably always say that this was not a declared war. So I don't know exactly what I haven't looked up to see precisely what the regulation says on that. But he should probably be grateful that I'm not in charge of that operation, because he would go in front of a firing squad. That is absolutely unacceptable. And to listen to what his dad said on that little interview when he was on with your president, and among several other things, I don't think for one minute, as good a shape as he was in, as good as he looked there, so when he came out of there, I find it hard to believe that he was in solitary confinement for 5 years like he said he was. He may have been, you know, I wasn't there, but it seems pretty hard to believe. So yeah, Tampico Scout, no, I don't know him, and I'm not sure what you're getting at there by saying that, but no, I don't know him. But from what I have heard, and the way things appear from what the news that I do get, he would go in front of a firing squad. But obviously you can't put somebody in front of a firing squad when all you hear is the news on TV. So I don't have any idea what the real story is there. But anyway, I'm real curious to know if they find some more information about the guy that crashed the plane in France. I told Amy the day after it happened, the morning that we found out about it, that I said, you know what the last thing out of that pilot's mouth was? And she thought I was going to come up with a dirty joke of some kind. I said, no, he said, Allah Akbar. And I don't know that to be a fact, but it may have been strictly a mass murder / suicide. It had nothing to do with anything else, but I wouldn't find it at the least bit surprising is if they find some stuff in there. That wouldn't surprise me if they found something going through his house that would link him with, you know, that seems to be the case with several of these things that's happened over the last two or three years here, is finding things that are not as they seem, and then find out that they've got links to some terrorist outfit or something. So, and I may be way off base to that, but nevertheless, I was right in the fact that it appears like he did it on purpose. But, okay, Yakima Glock, that makes sense. Yeah, thanks for clearing that up. I wasn't even thinking about that, so, all right. Yeah, I see what you mean now. So anyway, we'll just have to wait and see what else comes out of that. It doesn't look like anything good's going to come out of here anytime soon. And there was something else here. Let me go check it out right quick. There was something I wanted to talk about tonight. There's a lot of things I could talk about, but let's see here. There was something I threw up here just a few minutes ago that I want to make sure we touched on. Let's see. Man fatally shoots himself after eating 5 marijuana candies. Alrighty then. After eating 5 marijuana candies. So, there you go. Oh, here's the one. Criminal masterminds. Some of the smartest people that, you know, it makes you wonder how people like this ever could possibly get caught. These are what you would call, how would you phrase it? Super criminals or something? It's amazing how they pulled this off and ever got caught. But there were three of them. Kyle, Jeremy, and Jessica. They're in the process of robbing a supply store here when one of them, Jessica, wouldn't you know it, but dialed 911 and the Blue County Sheriff's Office. As is the policy of 911, the dispatcher listened to the call, heard the two of them discussing their robbery in progress, and the troublesome trio even went so far as to mention the business that they were robbing. Saved the officers a little time responding to the crime. So, hearing the sirens coming, the masterminds run away. And the one of them, the girl, was found inside a vehicle inside of a cemetery and was taken into custody without incident. The other two, these were really the masterminds behind the deal here. The two guys, they were the brains of the outfit. They fled to a gun range, but not just any gun range. Yeah, they were they were hiding in the Blue Earth County Sheriff's Office gun range. So, as you might imagine, the dynamic trio didn't make it too long. They were expected to be charged with burglary and a few other assorted crimes there. One of them already had a warrant out for his arrest, and one of the guys, not saying which one, had been tied to another burglary just a few days earlier. So there you have it. Crime does pay, I guess, sometimes. Okay, let me see what all's going on here. All right, that one. There's something I want to go over here real quick. You don't have to log off to do that, C7. I wish there wasn't such a lag. I could keep you from having to log off to do that. Just go over there on the far right-hand side and click the underscore thing. That's all you got to do. But, yeah, 45, this is this isn't the first time that we've had a story very similar to this where the masterminds have wound up dialing the car. And one of them, I tell you, one of them found a cell phone. No. A guy dialed a wrong number and thought he was being cool, being all sleuthy and everything. and didn't mention his name, didn't ask who it was. He just dialed number, and the guy on the other end, what he'd done was dialed the wrong number, and it was a cop. It was a cop's cell phone. So he's telling this unknown individual on the other end of the phone all about his drug deal is going down, and they want to meet and all that. And the cop says, of course, you betcha. I'll be there shortly. Address and everything else. Yeah, we'll be there. How stupid was that? And the cops were there waiting for him, and yep, they got him. Oh, well, poop happens, I reckon. Now, what is going on with my deal here? I've got something happening to my chat room also. CC7's having a little trouble. Let me see if I can get mine squared away here real quick before we take off. Actually, I can play with this while I'm talking, because this other thing, I haven't got anything to read. It's just something that has come up a couple of times. And it came up on our chat room once, and I don't remember who was involved. It was some time ago, not on the Survival Circle, but on the earlier one. And there was an individual in the talking on the chat room who was a pagan, and somebody, and I can't remember who it was, and it doesn't matter. But they had talked in such a manner as to be denigrating to this pagan. And I said, you know, that's not going to fly. What bothers me the most is that these people who profess to be Christians then go out there and talk bad about somebody who is not a Christian, thinking that everybody has to be a Christian. Now, I agree, as a Christian, that I wish everybody were. But I also know that everybody's not. You know what? We were given our free agency to make the choices that we see fit in our lives, good, bad, or indifferent. If you are truly a Christian, you will embrace those pagans and heathens and atheists, and I would say that you should probably show them more, at least as much consideration as you do your fellow Christians. It is it's absolutely unfathomable to me how you can claim to be a Christian and live Christ-like and have so much hate for someone who is not a Christian. Now, I'm going to tell you the fact. I've got a couple of friends who are some of the top four or five of the dearest friends I've ever had in my life who are pagans. And if they didn't tell you, if they didn't come out and say, hey, I'm a pagan, oh, well, I got to go. So, now, if they didn't come out and say that, you would have no idea. You would swear that they were every bit as Christian as you, maybe even more so. I know some that have every bit the values and the principles and the family values and the consideration and the as anybody that you know. Thing is, they don't go to church with us. They have their own deal that they do, and you may find this hard to believe, but they have not only the right to do that as God gave them the right to make that decision, they also have a full constitutional right
to believe in whatever they want to believe. I do believe that all of the, or at least most, not all, of the founding fathers were Christians. I believe that our Constitution, everything was based on Christian values and Christian ideas and concepts. But I also know for a fact that all of the founding fathers were not. And they were in the decision-making process and everything just like everybody else. Not sure what Tampico's got here. Who need to know, don't talk to unknown people on the phone. Yeah, that's right. That's right, yeah, need to know. This has always been a real sore spot with me, and I, once in a while, somebody says something that just really, really trips my trigger about this. And that is a zero tolerance thing for me. If you claim to be a Christian, then you should probably consider acting like one. There's been more more fights and more murders and more wars and people killed and people hurt and stuff going on because of religious values and ideas, either Christian or not. And it's insane to me that you would claim to follow in Christ's footsteps and have the hate that some people do for the pagans and heathens. There is no possibility, there's no chance that they'll ever come over to our side if you treat them that way. There's always, always a possibility that somebody might say the right thing at the right time, and they might actually start investigating a little bit into our way of thinking. And I think that would be a very good thing, and I think that you should be damn proud of yourself if you happen to be the one that that put that spark in there. So that's my pet peeve for tonight. There was a guy on Facebook that said something about a friend of mine about that, and I did not take the least bit kindly to that. So there's Edge of the Woods just joined us there. So, all right, I'm through with my rant. So let's carry on. Let me get a. Well, it's almost break time now. Wow. We still haven't accomplished a cotton picking thing. But I got that off my mind. Edge of the Woods says, oh, maybe time to duck. No, I think you're good. You don't worry about that whatsoever. All right, I'm going to take my break just a tad early so I can get my feet under me and get my thoughts together here. What would I like to do for that? Let me see. What did I see up here? There, Hopper says he is an atheist. You know, I have no problem with that. You're as welcome in my home as anybody else is. I don't believe that what you believe in makes you any less of a patriot, any less of a man, any less of a people and altogether. So that means nothing to me as long as you have the values, the human values that I expect in people. And I quite frankly give a flying flip one way or the other how you believe. Would I like for you to come and be a Christian? Yes, I would. If there's anything I can ever say or do that would help steer you in that direction or anybody else, I would go out of my way to try to do it. But that doesn't change a thing. You're welcome in my home anytime. So, with all that little bit of rant out of the way, let me see what I'd like to do for a break here. And we'll take a little break and we'll come back and talk about other stuff. Let's see. Let's try. I wasn't even ready for this. But how about this, just for the heck of it? This sounds like a good one. What the heck?
And the stab of loneliness, sharp and painful, that I may never shake. Now you might say that I was taking it hard since you wrote me off with a call. But don't you wager that I'll hide the sorrow when I may rig right down and bawl. Now the race is on and here comes pride up the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love stretched for another's sake. The race is on and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all. One day I ventured in love, never once suspecting what the final result would be. How I lived in fear of waking up each morning and finding that you'd gone from me. There's aching and pain in my heart for the day, but the one that I headed to face. Somebody new came up to win her, and I came out in second place. Now the race is on, and here comes pride at the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love scratched for another's sake. The race is on and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10-22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air.
Okay, we're back. Let's get this show on the road here. You know, there's several things in the on the legislative side of things and laws being made and whatnot that are in the news right now. One of them, it looks like Kansas is going to become our next constitutional carry state. Little opposition there, so I think that went pretty well. Oregon going the other way. They're looking at doing the same thing that Washington did, trying to get a private transfer prohibition against private transfers there, trying to get that on the road. Arizona and Nevada both, actually. There was a little talk of that trying to be done here and in Nevada, but I haven't heard anything else about it for a while. It may have died on its way, but let's see. Edge of the Woods just got something for those of you that are not on the chat. Edge of the Woods just put something in there that's relevant to what we've talked about a time or two. If you have the newer Baofeng UV5Rs, the GT3, the BFF8, F8HP, made in August and September, there is a bug in the firmware. And that has been a little bit of a problem. I've had some issues getting some of these radios programmed, and I figured out how to get around that. So now I tell you what, for those of you that are thinking about getting a radio, look at the newer UV82. The UV82 is a from the ground up built new radio. It's basically a grossly upgraded UV5R. And it's got several features that the UV5R doesn't. And I am certainly looking at trying to get a couple of those. I think that we talked about communications here not too long ago, so I don't want to spend a long time on it. But with some of the things that Iran has said recently and some of the things that North Korea has done recently, I think this EMP thing is certainly in the realm of possibility, maybe even likelihood. So I think it would be a good idea, as cheap as some of these radios are, to take at least two of them and at least a couple of decent tactical style flashlights and batteries and some of the accessories that go along with those radios and get them protected, stay out of them. You're not going to have a warning saying, oh, there's an EMP coming, we better run, put all this stuff in the box and tape it up. Nope, everything is going to be fine and dandy and great and rosy and birds singing. And 1 second later than that, as the book says, 1 second after, your life likely will never be the same again. Birds will still be singing, but that'll be it. So you're going to have to take a few things. When I say you're going to have to, it doesn't mean I strongly recommend. I mean you're damn sure going to have to. If you don't want to be left in the dark and have no communication with anybody around you, you better think very, very seriously about getting some stuff protected. And radios and good flashlights are a couple of them. Now, you know, you take your Streamlight and Surefire flash, any of those good tactical flashlights with the LED bulbs and all that stuff, they've got electronics in the tail cap, in the switch, that makes them have their different features and stuff, and they will die. So, you know, that's just one of those things that's, I'm not telling you to consider it. I'm telling you, you better damn sure get it done, or you're going to be without. let's see. Let me cruise down here. My chat room is not keeping up like it's supposed to, so let me see what's going on here. Now, if you're going to put these, if you're going to put these batteries, I mean these flashlights away, you can go ahead and charge your batteries up fully if you want to put a couple of batteries in it with it. Charge them up fully and put them in there with it. How much charge will be left when you pull them out will be solely dependent on when the EMP happens, if it does. And the other thing you should do, the UV5Rs and the UV82s have an adapter deal that looks like a battery, but it's not. It's a container for six either AA or AAA batteries. And you can put those in there with the radios. And you need to put your charger in there with it. And I think that these base-loaded antennas also may have electronics in the base, so you might not hurt to put a one of the 8-inch antennas in there, depending on the size of the box you're putting it in, of course. Maybe you may want to put the 15-inch whip antenna in there. But Yakima Glock, it may be incandescent streamlight, but you still have electronics in the tail cap. I just about guarantee you. So those are all things to consider there. You know, maybe an old laptop or a small, tablet or something. Not that you're going to be able to get back on the internet, but it might be a good thing. You know, you can, if you have that chirp program on your laptop, at least you can program other people's radios. You can, you got pictures, documents, look at flash drives. You know, there are a lot of that stuff you can still do whether or not the internet comes up. Edge of the Woods, I just found tonight, you probably already know this, but I did find that there is a cord now to connect your two radios. You go into the mic jack on both radios with this cord, and you're able to clone one to the other. So if you've got one the way you like it, you do not have to any longer hook it up to your computer and chirp. If you have, if it's not, a lot of it's going to depend on the build and the firmware and or the and all of that. But nevertheless, that being similar, then you can clone one radio to the other without having to hook it up to the computer. Now, Mountain Shooter, I think you know the answer to that question, but I think you're trying to get me off of radios and get on guns. But yeah, 748 is a great ball powder, as Peanut Rider says, for the 308. 760 is, it's okay for the heavier bullets. It's not great, but it'll work. It's not really good for, it's too slow for the lighter bullets to do very well. It'll work, it'll fire. And it's safe, it's just not very efficient. H-335 is one of the best ones. 748 is excellent, that's what I use. And I actually use some of the... hang on here a second. I actually use some of the stick powders. You know, the, let's see, 4064 works real well in a 308. let's see. I'm trying to think right off the top of my head, but that ought to give you a pretty good idea. But like I said, I think you already knew that because you shoot with 308 quite a bit anyway. So you were probably just trying to bait me off, and you should, because I got way off track here again. But you know, that's something to think about right now. And that is, yeah, 335 is a great powder for the 308, and it also works pretty well for the 223. Not bad. Yakima Glock, the antennas and charge cables act as an antenna drawing MP into your Faraday cage. No, if your Faraday cage is made properly, no, it won't draw it in there. It can't draw it in there if your cage is made properly. No, it won't do that. You know, if you have a cord sticking out of your Faraday cage somewhere, then yeah, it will. It's just going to act as an antenna, and it'll go right in there and fry everything in the box. But as long as it's everything sealed up properly, no, it won't. There's Mountain Shooter, there's a... I'll have to go out in the shop and look. There's a couple of military ball powder that you can buy in bulk that work very, very well for that. That was made actually for the 308. And Edge of the Woods, I think you'll find if you'll look at the burning rate of IMR 4895 and H4895. I think you'll find that they are right neck and neck, and I'm pretty sure you can double check this. I don't have my books in here with me right now, but I'm pretty sure that you can use those two interchangeably. Be sure and check your book before you do that, but I'm pretty sure that they are so close that it wouldn't matter. So, let's see. Edge of the Woods, I'm glad to hear you saying that. I know why you got the 303 to start with, and I know that you've had great luck with cast bullets. You've done wonderful things with that gun. But you know what? When it comes down to it, you know as well as I do that what you have with you right now, all the cast bullets that you have and the powder that you have available and the brass that you have available, if the balloon goes up, that's all you're ever going to have. Bullets, and you may find something once in a while that will suffice. Brass, you're out of luck. Powder, of course, there's several powders that you can use for that. But, you know, it just seems so logical to go ahead and go with something that you'll be able to find... ammo, parts, brass, bullets, whatever for. So it just seems, it just stands to reason to me that, maybe, having a 303 or something like that stuck back in just as a backup for somebody and 100 rounds of ammo that you can share with somebody or something like that, that's one thing. But keeping it as a primary, no, I think that's a bad idea. I think you're making a good move by, trading that off for a 308. And I've always said that the 308 was not necessarily always my favorite caliber. It was great. It's accurate. It's everything a guy could want. It does everything. But it just never was my... It has become my favorite because out of necessity. My 30-06 was my favorite thing for years and years and years. And I've had a couple of 308s and they were okay, but I always went back to my 06. And... but over the last... maybe 10 years, eight years. What is this? 2015, maybe 2007. 10 years. Over the last 10 years, I have gotten rid of all my 30-06s. I made 338-06s out of my last two 30-06s. They are not on my list of battle rifles. When the ammo is gone for them, they'll be destroyed. But I've got everything now. I've got, three or four 308s now. And when you look at the availability of ammo and the efficiency of the round and as easy as it is to reload for and as easy as many components are available, as many guns are chambered for it, as easy as they are for women and young shooters to shoot, I mean, there are no downsides to the 308. And I've always known that. I just had other choices because we had other choices. A 7mm Mauser is a great round. It's just not a good choice for this day and age. It's fine for a while, but when you run out of stuff, you're going to be out of stuff. And I think that standardization of your calibers is absolutely imperative. I think there is no discussion there. I mean, as much as I say that to people, there's still guys. Oh yeah, well, you know, I've got enough stuff to reload, and I've got this, and I've got that. Yeah, well, that could be. And if you are fortunate enough to live in such a hardened house that you will have the BB burner, that's a good point there. If you have such a hardened area and enough reinforcements there that you have the luxury of being able to reload when you need to, and have the back vehicle or whatever you need to haul all of that stuff with you for your 300 short mag or your 270 or whatever the case may be, then, you know, you knock yourself out if you think you do. But it makes more sense to me that with 223, 7.6 tuba 39, 308, and to a much lesser degree, 30-06, 7.6 tuba 54R, and a couple of others, 300 Win Mag, maybe 270, 30-30. You know, you'll find a little bit of that stuff here and there. If you're very actively engaged in the fight, you're going to run out of that stuff, and the stuff that you find available are not going to be fit for your gun. Of course, the other side of that coin is there's going to be guns available when you go through an ammo too. So when you go through the stuff that you have, you're going to find more... I don't know who Easy Mac is, just popped up there, so it makes more sense reading the chat room and listening to the show at the same time. Well, I don't know who you are, but I'm glad you made it in. You're welcome to join us anytime at the shooting bench. So, and I've always had this opinion, and I've shared it with you a number of times, you know, but we get new people on, and it's just like, you know, it's no different than gun safety or preaching the gospel. You know, if you get one person to come on board, that's just one person whose life is going to be easier, I believe, than trying to hold out. Now, I also understand that there are people that are so, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, because all of us are about to be in this position, but I understand that there are people that are so broke all the time, so often, that you can't just up and go grab another gun whenever you want to. But I will tell you this. You can, there's lots of used bolt action rifles out there, since we're talking about 308 and 30-06 and stuff. Typically, we're talking about a bolt gun, maybe semi-automatic, you know, the M1As and the FNs and stuff, HKs to a lesser degree. But for the most part, we're talking about bolt guns. The Easy Mac, if you've been at the last few Washington, if you were at the December 13th rally, then there's a possibility that we may have met, but, or you may have heard me speak anyway. You may have spoken. I don't know who you are, so I don't know. But anyway, if we look at those three, what I've always called the militia calibers, there's always going to be ammo available for you. Now, Yakima Glock has a good point, but it's beside the point. You can make 270 brass out of 30-06. You can make 30-06 brass out of 270. Either one. You can use 25-06 to make either one with. You can use the 280 Remington to make any of them with. But that doesn't change the fact that you... we're talking about the absolute most desperate times that this country has ever known. If you think you're going to have time to sit around and resize brass and reload and get your stuff, if you have components to reload, it is my suggestion that you get the damn stuff reloaded now. because when the time comes, at least for a while until things settle down, I think your reloading activities are probably going to be on the back burner. So it's going to be a good idea to have that ammo available. If you've got a bunch of components sitting around, why not load the damn stuff now while you've got the time and the opportunity to do it? I mean, it just makes sense to me. Of course, it may not make sense to you, and maybe that's why you haven't done it yet. But let's see. Well, we've got some 40 caliber discussion going on here. Not too late since I first got a 40 Smith & Wesson pistol after the Obama ammo scarcity because of 40. You know, that's funny, too, because when the second ammo shortage came up, 40 was just as rare as everything else. I mean, it got to be where you just couldn't get pistol ammo, period. There was 357 SIG and 45 GAP available, but it's because nobody was shooting it. But there's the 40 is an exceedingly popular round, and it's one that I dearly love. Everybody knows that I got. But in saying that, I also have a couple of conversion barrels so that when and if the 40 dries up, I've even got a 357 SIG barrel for one of my 40s. Or it'll fit a couple of them, actually. But so if something happens and this other ammunition dries up, then I have the opportunity, the option. Let's say we're out on a patrol somewhere, just for the sake of argument, and I've got plenty of 40, but let's say I just happen to stumble into a guy here that was on the opposing side, or maybe he just wants to trade for something that I have too much of, or happen to stumble into somebody's cache somewhere or something, and I wind up with 300 or 400 or 500 rounds or 1,000 rounds of 357 SIG. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not a fan of that caliber. But I'm going to do one of two things. I'm either going to go ahead and swap barrels and shoot that 357 SIG up while I have it, or I'm going to stash that ammo and the barrel away somewhere so that if I run out of 40, I've always got that to fall back on. And you don't need to change magazines. You don't need to change springs. You don't need to change spring-loaded bearings. You don't need to change extractors or ejectors or nothing. You just put a magazine in it and barrel and... or just a barrel as far as that goes, and just shoot it. And the 9mm, of course, you need magazines and barrel and everything. We've talked about that many times. I don't know why my chat room doesn't want to keep up here. Let's see. Easy Mac, I think I remember you now. Red shirt and obnoxious camera, I think I remember who you are now. I don't know that we ever met, but I think I remember you. We were kind of keeping an eye on everything going on around there. And Mountain Shooter, that's exactly why I have 223 stuck away. I don't even own a 223 anymore. But I know that there's going to be some available. So, that's of course, I've got some of that. Gauntlet 40 has joined us. He's got another good point there. The 40 Smith & Wesson, as far as I know, so far, shoots flawlessly out of either of the Glock 10 millimeters, the Glock 20 or the Glock 29. You don't have to do anything. Just load it. Just put the ammo in the magazine, shoot it. It does fine. Jason carried his Glock 20 or 21 with a 10 millimeter barrel in it without changing anything, and it shot flawlessly, never to this day that I know of, still hasn't had a malfunction with it. And he could run 40s in that just over and over and over and never had a problem with it. I know a guy that come and took a class from me in the winter of 2010, I think. Maybe 2011. Anyway, it was the winter that it got 38 below zero over in Luna, New Year's. But he had a 10 millimeter. He had a Glock 20. And he run 40s in it the whole time that he was there through the class. Never had a single malfunction. So that's another treat for you Glock shooters. Yakima Glock says, will the 9mm feed from the 40 mags? Yes and no. If you fill it plumb up, it's probably going to puke half of them out because there's too much spring tension in there and the feed lips are too far apart. It is nearly impossible to squeeze those things together where they work with the 9mm. However, most of them will work if you just load it up about half full. If you have to use them, you've got a 15 round, you know, a 13, 15 round magazine. If you only put 6 or 7 in there, they'll probably be okay. But, you can't by any means load it all the way up in most of them. As soon as I say that, somebody's gonna go try it and make it work. But, yeah, ordinarily, no, you can't. So, all you need is change the magazines. Now, since you're asking, Yakima Glock, let me tell you a couple other things you may not know. And that is that you will, you may need to, if you have any problems with just changing barrels, and you have a few malfunctions, don't fret. It's not a big deal. What you should do, and you should go ahead and do it now so you'll have them in the future if things start to wear, you should get a spring-loaded bearing for your particular gun, and you should get an extractor. If you get those two things, well, three things, a spring-loaded bearing is a... No, two. It's just one. So you need a spring-loaded bearing and an extractor. If you change those two things and put a conversion barrel in it, you will have a 9mm and you will eliminate the possibility of malfunctions in that gun. Now, you may not have any anyway. Like I've said on here before, my son and I changed these out one time and we just put stock 9mm barrels in 40s and run a class shooting, 1,200 rounds over a long weekend. And mine, I'd have 3 or 4 malfunctions every single magazine full. All I did was I went down to the shop, changed the spring-loaded bearing and the extractor in it, and to this day, I still have not had another malfunction with it. And Wesley never did have one with his. His worked fine. So they're all just a little bit different. Their tolerances are not as tight, obviously, in a lot of those that are any of them, as some of the fine 1911s and stuff. So, yeah, you can experience different things because of the tolerances in them. So, let's see. Let me see what these pictures are we got coming up here. Let me click on that and see. Oh, we've got the... now, that says... I'm not understanding what the information is on the target here. What you have laying there looks like an Aguila subsonic in that second picture. What you have written there is looks like 223 Winchester 60 grain VMAX and all that, but that's not what you're showing. You're showing an Aguila, or Aguila, or whatever you want to call it, subsonic sniper there. And if I look at this other one, it looks like the same thing. Let me see, did I click on the same one twice? So you'll have to explain this to me. That's, the bullet that you have laying there is not what you have described in there, so explain it to me. Let's see what's going on. Yakima Glock, you're only going to spend like $18, I think it is, something like that. I don't remember for sure, don't quote me on that, but I think that's what the extractors were. And spring-loaded bearings are, $2.95. It doesn't hurt a thing in the world to have them on standby just in case. Keep your other ones. If you ever know, switch it back over to a 40, just change them and you won't have any problem. And to Tinker, that may be what he's doing. He may have just thrown that in the middle there as a paperweight for that. But anyway, and I know this is kind of redundant for those of you that have been listening for a while because we've talked about these same issues before. But like I said, if we get somebody out here that needs some information, if I have anything that I can help them with, when it comes to anything, then you'll just have to be bored for a little bit. So throw that out there for you. Oh, C7's got one of those guys for a friend there. Everyone told him, thou shalt... Oh, no, it wasn't the friend. It was everyone else telling you, thou shalt not shoot 40 caliber in a 10 millimeter. Hey, it's... Now, the thing is, you need to understand, for those of you that may want to try this, Glock actually sent me a personal letter and asked me not to tell people this. They say it's unsafe. As far as pressure goes, the shooting a 40 in a 10 millimeter is like shooting a 22 short and a 22 long rifle. It's like shooting a 38 special and a 357 magnum. Pressure is considerably lower. The only thing that they're talking about is that the round will have to head space on the extractor instead of on the rim like it normally would. And I'll tell you, I've done this, I can't begin to guess how many times. But I have shot 9 millimeters, almost the 40 that I'm wearing right now will shoot 9 millimeters flawlessly out of its 40 barrel. If you single load them one at a time, of course it won't work the action because there's not enough pressure with that small bullet going through the larger bore. Do I recommend that you do that? You know, out of common sense, I don't recommend that you do. But I have done it many times. And what happens is that the rim will head space on the extractor and it will fire. It won't sound the same, it won't feel the same, and the slide won't go back and chamber another round. And the bullet will go downrange. It'll go downrange slowly and very inaccurately, but it will work pretty reliably. And the reason I don't recommend that you do it is because it's pointless. It's just stupid to do it. Other than the fact that I've done it enough times to know that if my gun goes, if I run out of ammo, and we're in a heated battle fighting for our lives, and Amy still has some, I may be able to borrow a few of rounds of hers and put it in. Or maybe just the one to get me out of there. And I know that at bedroom ranges, you know, let's say I haven't shot them real close up for accuracy. We've shot them at a distance, you know, on a hill and realized that it was, you know, 6 or 8 feet from where we were aiming. But that was 30 or 40 yards away. So I would say that if you were inside of, you know, 15, 20 feet, that I'm confident that you could hit a man-sized target just fine. So, that's for whatever it's worth to you. As long as we're on that subject, if you want a single load 380s in a 9mm, now, let me tell you something else. If you're going to do that, it must feed out of the magazine. You cannot drop it in the chamber and expect it to latch under the extractor. It is impossible. You've got to put at least that one round in the magazine. But if you put a 380 in a 9mm magazine and stick it in your Glock 17 or your 19 or your 26 or your 34 or your 17L, they will fire. Accuracy will be good, excellent even, but the slide will not function. You will not be able to chamber the next round. Now, if you wish to fill that magazine all the way up with 380s, and it'll work fine with a 9mm magazine, you can put all the 380s in it you want to, as many as you can 9mm. The only thing is, you're going to have to rack the slide every time. Bang, rack the slide by hand. Bang, rack the slide by hand. Bang, rack the slide by hand. That's the only way you can do it. But your accuracy and velocity will be good. It's just that it won't function as a semi-automatic. So now these are the things that make the Glock desirable over some other guns because it has a Mauser-type feeding system where when the round comes up out of the magazine, it is already under the extractor. The extractor does not snap over the rim after it has gone into the chamber like your 1911 does or like most of the rest of them do. when it comes out of the magazine and heads to the chamber, that rim of that shell is already under the extractor when it shuts. And that's what holds the shell to the rear, the cartridge to the rear, effectively head spacing it, so that when the firing pin hits it, it will go off. Now, do I promise you that they're all going to be 100% reliable? Of course not. You know, everything fails once in a while. But anyway, be too basic. Not to sweat, dear. We will get you way squared away here. We'll all work on this together as a family when we get there. And Gauntlet, you're absolutely right. It was unsafe for Glock's profits. That is a fact. That is the bottom line, and that is their bottom line. That's the bottom line. So, now some of those conversion barrels, and I talked about this the other day. Gauntlet 40 has a good point about keeping the chamber clean on those conversion barrels. Some worse than others. The Lone Wolf barrels, I haven't had any problem with. Storm Lake barrels, yes, they're very tight. Your KKM barrels, they're more of a almost match grade. Matter of fact, you can get match grade for those. But I haven't had that problem at all with the the Lone Wolf barrels. Lone Wolf makes a damn fine barrel for the money. Nothing wrong with them at all. So, all right, well, let's see. Anything else I need to... Yeah, BB burner, that's kind of what it is. It's a zip gun, but it works. It's safe, it's effective, and it damn sure will work if that's what you need to do. So, oh, while we're on the topic here, we've already wasted the night talking about stuff I've talked about a dozen times, but since we're on the topic, if you have a 45 ACP barrel and you happen to buy the wrong ammo and the little college kid at Walmart gave you a box of 45 Gap, don't fret. The 45 Gap will work flawlessly in the 45 ACP, just as the 380 will work in the 9mm. Difference being, the 45 Gap will make the gun function properly. You'll never know the difference. You'll never know that it's 45 Gap, because it'll work just fine. Sound the same, accuracy will be the same. You won't have any problem. Now, you can go back over there if you happen to knock somebody down that has a pocket full of 357 SIGs and you're shooting a 40 and they're shooting a SIG and you're shooting a Glock and all you can do is take their ammunition. You say, oh my, I can't do this. Yes, you can. You can shoot the 357 SIG. We'll head space. Hold on just a second here. The 357 SIG will head space on the extractor just like the other ones that we talked about. Accuracy and velocity will suck, but it will shoot 100%. When you fire the round, the case mount, neck will blow out to essentially a 40 Smith & Wesson case, and you'll lose a lot of velocity as the bullet goes down the bore because it's the wrong size and a lot of gas will go past it, but it will shoot, and it will shoot 100% of the time. As long as your accuracy is not a factor in close range, close quarters in a building or something, it will work. Even if it doesn't, now you got to think about this. Even if your accuracy is not spot on, if you've got bullets flying that direction and it's making noise and fireball and all the stuff that goes along with shooting, then you have to believe that you're going to be distracting those guys a little bit, and they're probably not going to be at the top of their game there when they have bullets coming at them. They don't know that you've got the wrong barrel. They don't know. They just think you missed. So I don't think they're going to come out and be all that brave just because you know it's the wrong one. So, yeah, not too late, I'm sorry to say. But if you buy 45 Colt instead of 45 ACP, yeah, I'm sorry, but there's nothing that you can do. However, if you buy 45 ACP instead of 45 Colt, many of them will shoot the 45 ACP if you have what's called a moon clip. That they'll headspace on the moon clip and they'll shoot just fine. Matter of fact, some of them are made that way, you know, from the factory. And just so you'll know, and I don't mean to talk down to you, but there's no such thing as a 45 long Colt. It doesn't exist. A lot of people call it that. It's a misnomer. There is no such thing as it's a 45 Colt. Now, there was once a 41 long Colt, but there's never been any such thing as a 45 long Colt. It's called it that, and once in a while you'll even see that in a book somewhere, but if you look up the history on it, there is no such thing. So just so you'll know, in case anybody ever asks you. And Peanut Rider says the 45 Colt's too uncommon today. But you know what? It is uncommon. And it's not even that so much as the ammunition. I don't know why. But it just absolutely evaporated. 45 Colt has been so difficult to get for the last 5 years probably. It's just hard to find. You know, once in a while you'll find a store there and say, okay, great, they got 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 boxes. You better get it all because you come back tomorrow, it ain't going to be there. You come back 2 hours, it ain't going to be there. Probably. So. Okay, let's see. I had a guy work for me one time that carried a 45 ACP. And he bought a bunch of 45 Gap and was trying to load it and never knew the damn difference. Roger that, Tampico Scout. Let's see here. Let me check. All right. And Peanut Rider is right again. 45 Colt usually, yeah, more expensive than 44 Magnum. Yeah, 45 Colt, you know, it's a great round, especially if you're shooting it out of a Ruger or something and you reload for it. I don't like the factory loads for it. But it just kind of went out with running boards on cars, you know, except for competition and stuff. It's just not really that sought after anymore. If you take some of any of the Rugers or some of John Linebaugh's custom guns or something, you can load that 45 Colt up to even to exceed 44 Magnum performance. And it's a great round for elk and, you know, deer and whatever you want to hunt with it. But outside of that, as far as just the average person going out grabbing some and off the shelf and expecting to use it, it just ain't a happening thing right now. Let's see. All right. Well, I'm rambling here a little bit, so let me see if I can find a stopping point and get out of here. I've got things to do, places to go, and people to see. And tomorrow night, we have Liberty Lounge. Don't forget to join us for that. It's our all-music night, or mostly music night. We have the Battlefield Medic class, Battlefield/Wilderness Medic class, coming up the 24th and 25th of next month here in Arizona, in Vernon, Arizona. We've got a Counter-Strike class coming up on the 11th. We have I haven't got my schedule in front of me. But you can go to the shootingbench.us and look at the schedule there and see what all we've got coming up. And, of course, with the big class coming up in Washington, in Yakima, Washington, Personal Defense Handgun 3. That is an awesome class. First day is a little bit slow for those that are already, already knowledgeable about shooting. But once the second day starts, it goes pretty quick. Not too late. You know, you may live in Ohio, but by golly, we've had people come all the way from Illinois and New Jersey and everywhere else for some of our classes out there. And actually, we went to Ohio and did a class, 3-4 years ago, I guess. Me and Jason went out there and did a class out right in the middle of Ohio. Man, it was hot and humid. Good Lord, I hated it. But good people out there. We had a blast. All right, well, I can sit here and visit and ramble all night long, so I'm going to get on out of here and let y'all get to bed, and I appreciate you joining me. We're way over time. You know, we didn't stop for a single cotton picking break tonight. But anyhow, Minnie, I'm surprised we didn't lose you. I know that I think it's Iowa Cat and Rights at Risk that really get lost in some of the technical stuff more than you do. But I'm glad you hung in there with us anyway. Sue stayed with us. B2 stayed with us. All right. And I think Ziva stayed with us. Bless her heart. All right. We'll see y'all later. Good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.